Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Today, the story of an obligation God gave to a prophet and the prophet's amazing journey to avoid that obligation. Jonah was told to preach to the people of Nineveh, but said, "No way." The lessons for all of us will soon be clear, so stay tuned. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on making the best of a bad decision, Erwin Lutzer comes now to talk with us about what happens when you run from responsibility.
Would you ask God to speak to you today and give you the grace to be obedient to whatever he tells you? Father, thank you for reminding us in so many ways of our helplessness apart from grace. The way we rationalize, the lies we tell ourselves, the attitudes that we adopt are deeply entrenched, and only you can change us. Would you do that? Would you change me? Would you change all who are listening to this message? By your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever had the experience of coming to a fork in the road of life and making a wrong turn? And maybe you made that wrong turn deliberately. You knew what you were doing, but you decided to choose the easy path. And sometimes, however, the easy path is not necessarily the holy path. Maybe you decided to make the decision you did because of desire. You were desire-driven. I want this. Maybe it was a matter of greed or lust. And you said to yourself, I want what I want, and I'm not even going to ask God because I think I know what he might say if I ask him. So you've gone on your way. Self-absorption, self-will, I need to protect myself, whatever that decision may be. How would you like it if the decision that you made were public news? How would you like it if you were a jury on the Ryan trial? You were a member of the jury. You didn't know that everybody in Illinois would know that you either stole a bicycle or bought a stolen bicycle. You didn't know that, did you? And now it's all out there. Well, today we're going to look at the story of a man who took a wrong path, and it's all out there. Millions of people have known about it for hundreds and hundreds of years. His name is Jonah, and his story is plain for all to read and for all to see. As a matter of fact, I can imagine that when we get to heaven, you know, and we meet him, we'll say, so you're the guy. You're the guy. What was it like in the belly of the fish? And furthermore, the question I want to ask him is not that. I'd like to ask him, did you ever get over your stubbornness? Because the book ends with him just as being as stubborn as you can possibly be, and there's no hint that he ever changed. And I want to say, Jonah, did you change before you died? Tell me. Yeah, what fun we'll have when we meet Jonah. God wouldn't have asked him to go to Nineveh to preach unless he was a well-known and good prophet. And when he said no, it wasn't because of pure bigotry. He was beyond that. It wasn't just because he was a coward, because actually he wasn't a coward. He was willing to die. In fact, he said to the men in the boat, please throw me over. Over and over again, he lives with this death wish. It is better for me to die than to live. No. His refusal had nationalistic roots. It was the idea that if he were to preach to Nineveh, they might repent and God may bless them and they might in turn punish Israel. So he had high motives for his disobedience. I hope by now your Bible is open to the book of Jonah. A little difficult to find. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, among those minor prophets. Minor, not because they're unimportant, but because they're shorter. Jonah, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." God says, go to Nineveh, but Jonah has issues. Jonah says, I'm not going to go. And then what unfolds is this story. Now you have to understand that there are some people who find it difficult to swallow the story of Jonah in the belly of the fish. But Jesus believed it, and so do I. Now, let's look at the lessons that Jonah learned when he was running from God outside the will of God. A few years ago, I preached a series of four messages on Jonah. Today, we're looking at the entire book. We're just surveying the whole book and putting it together in one piece. What were the lessons that Jonah learned running from God? First of all, he learned that when you run from God and from responsibility, God pursues you. God pursues you. Now let's look at the text. It says in verse 3, "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Literally, the Hebrew is from the face of God. He says, I want to get away from God. So he's trying to run from before the face of the Lord. Some of you may be in Chicago because you're running from the face of the Lord. Well, I've got some news for you. God is in Chicago, too. You know that, don't you? And you'll notice that he paid the fare. He found the ship, and he paid the fare. And he went down to Joppa, verse 3. Verse 5, he goes down into the inner part of the ship. He goes down into the water, and eventually down into the belly of the fish. Whenever you run from God, you always go down. You never go up. But how does God pursue Jonah? He pursues him through circumstances. Verse 4, "And the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and it caused the fish to be discombobulated, and fishermen were scrambling to live, and the shore was affected by the blast of these waves," and everything. But God had something else in mind. There was a disobedient prophet that he was trying to get back into his plan. God would have been gracious if he had simply said, "Jonah, adios, I'm through with you. I'm going to find something else." But God pursues him, just like God pursues you. Considering the lives that there may be listening to me today, isn't it amazing that you're listening to this message? God pursues him through circumstances. And there is this huge storm. Huge storm, and they take the cargo and they throw it overboard. And what's Jonah doing when all this is happening? This is unbelievable. It says that they throw the cargo out of the ship into the water, and Jonah, last part of verse 5, is fast asleep. And the captain has to come and say to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper?" Is it possible to have a clear conscience and sleep well in a state of disobedience? The answer is yes. You can talk yourself out of doing God's will and get a good night's rest. Jonah could sleep contentedly with all this going around him as a rebellious prophet walking away from his responsibility. It's interesting, and we say it in passing, that the storm was not brought about by the wicked sailors. The storms in America that we face, the erosion of our freedoms, our moral freefall. It's easy for us to blame certain groups. We blame the ACLU. We blame various liberal groups. We blame Hollywood. And all of them, I'm sure, have some blame. But maybe the storms even that we encounter are not because of the pagans, but because of righteous people asleep on a boat who should be repenting. Maybe that's the reason that we've encountered so many storms in this country. It's not always because of the pagans. Sometimes it's disobedient Christians. So God uses circumstances and God uses people. The sailors, they come and they talk, and he tells them in verse 10 that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. It says they knew that he was doing that because he told them. I can imagine Jonah as he's rationalizing all this. He's saying, well, at least I'm honest. Have you met people like that? Well, one thing about me, sure, I'm doing A, B, C, D, but at least I'm honest. Yeah, you're honest, but you're also wrong and rebellious. Thank you very much. So Jonah, of course, tells them, and then they cast lots, and they discover that it's because of Jonah that they're having this problem. And he, of course, always this desire for suicide, always this desire to die, throw me over and let me die. I am finding the will of God so distasteful. I would rather die than go to Nineveh and preach to those people. What a mirror of the human heart. Pretty stubborn, wouldn't you say? Ah, yeah, Jonah is a chip off the same block that you and I have in our hearts. And so he wants to get away, but God now is getting his attention because God is pursuing them. There are some people to whom I'm speaking today. You are out of the will of God geographically. You're running from responsibility geographically. There are many of you who are running from the will of God and responsibility morally. Morally. You're living a lie that God knows all about. And then there are others who may be running away from the will of God relationally. You're pulling back from relationships where you ought to be drawing closer. You've ruptured relationships and you don't have the humility to go and to ask people's forgiveness. And you too are running from responsibility and from God. But God is pursuing you. Well, you know, this is Pastor Lutzer. Life is messy, isn't it? We have so many different perspectives. We have our perspective, our friends have their perspective, the church has its perspective. The question is, how do we sort all this out? Well, even when we can't, what we have to do is to seek God for the question of how can we be faithful in the midst of a world that is so confused and in the midst of a life that is so confused. We want to thank the many of you who support the ministry of Running to Win because we want to be an encouragement, a blessing. We want to give instruction all the way to the finish line. But we want you to stand with us and become an endurance partner, somebody who supports us regularly. Here's what you can do. Go to offerrtw.com and click on the endurance partner button, or you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. Ask how you can become a part of the Running to Win family.
Today, Erwin Lutzer introduced When You Run from Responsibility, the fifth of seven messages in a series on making the best of a bad decision. Next time, we get a closer look at the God of the second chance for Jonah and for us. Pastor Lutzer's book, Making the Best of a Bad Decision, will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.